side.
Hi, everybody. Last week's episode was incredible.
It was brilliant.
It was all about freedom.
Ugh.
And Greg took his freedom, and he said, I'm going to use my freedom to not record it properly.
And I like to believe that I've given our audience a sense of freedom from having to listen to us for a week.
But for a half hour, we talked our little hearts out, didn't we?
Oh my God. I was
just so brilliant.
I was weeping from the brilliance.
I went out and I registered all my dead relatives. I felt so patriotic.
So is this technically episode 77? Are we just writing off episode 76?
I think we should make this episode 76 just to have the chronology right. We'll circle back to the freedom one someday.
Well, we will, when we're feeling free.
But this is, so we'll make this officially, all joking aside, webisode, episode, broadcast, whatever, episode number 76. And today's topic is on impulse control. Because I have to
control my bowels through this entire half hour?
That's not impulse control. That's a great service to the nation.
Gotcha.
Thank you. And the topic comes up because Greg and I normally do this, record this on a Tuesday, and he called this past Tuesday and said, Daryl, go ahead, you ready to do it? And I told him I couldn't do it. And there was a reason I couldn't do it. It's because I wasn't feeling so good, because at 3:30 the night before, or that morning, I decided that I wanted to go out and find the only open Jack in the Box in the country and get myself a vanilla shake and a hamburger. Now, I didn't have to do that. I could have laid there in bed and go, I'll wait till tomorrow. I just jumped out like a fireman, right into my pants, and the hat went on and the shirt, and I was out there with my suspenders fighting fires and going through Jack in the Box. And they're open, unfortunately, for me, 24 hours, except between 3:30 a.m. and 4:30 a.m., they shut down. Weird hour. So I got there like 10 minutes before they shut down. And, you know, they're giving me the stink eye as I'm buying this stuff. Like, well, you're buying a shake from us now? What's wrong with you? So I couldn't control myself. I wanted it and I got it, and I regretted it thereafter.
You know the last time I made a middle of the night fast food run?
Okay, when was that?
Never. Never.
That's what my life is so much more colorful than yours. That's all I can tell you. So
yeah, colorful. What exactly was colorful? Was it coming out of your mouth?
Yeah,
I was
chartreuse up to here.
Oh my God.
So I got a little bit of something different. I hope you have things to contribute. I have six little stories, and I'm going to say what they are. And Greg, you pick one, and I'll go ahead and I'll regale you with it.
Okay? Can't wait. We will preface this by saying that this is primarily a Daryl Mendelson episode, because I have amazing impulse control. But perhaps my impulses are not as demanding as Mr. Mendelson's.
Well, there's another way of putting what you have, your lack of impulse control, is called being brain dead. That's a whole other topic.
I am a very, very boring individual.
Well, maybe I should just go through my list, but here's the different topics.
Okay, right? I'm ready.
The 3:30 a.m. shake, which just we mentioned. I've got a story about a optician not showing up for work. I have a story about this isn't just things about me. These are concepts I thought about. Making a joke in the moment because we love making a joke, and then realizing only after it's left your lips that maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Okay, that's the lead at this point. That's in first place at this point.
I have a little story about my mom and her psychiatrist and what he told her, and not to my dear sweet mom who's passed on. It's not to throw under the bus, but it's kind of funny. The whole section of impulse control, impulse purchases. I know you had impulse purchases. I know I've had impulse purchases. Yes. So that's
that is true.
And then an interesting topic, which we could walk very gingerly upon because we don't want to get weird, but talking about libido and sexual desire. So we're not doctors, but we are men. And there's that impulse control is a big part of that. And it's an interesting topic, actually, in all seriousness, that I've had this discussion with people all throughout my life about, you know, it's a fine line between being a respectful citizen and then not being able to control yourself and becoming a criminal. And that's part of impulse control, because libido is an actual thing. It's a biological, psychological, and sociological drive. And that's why they even have a special word for it, libido. It has to deal with testosterone and dopamines and stuff like that. Anyway, those are areas I thought. Now, you pick one, and we'll talk about it. Don't be impulsive now.
No. I feel like, first of all, you know, when Daryl says he doesn't want to throw his mom under the bus because she's passed because he literally threw her under a bus. It's a little known fact, but,
you know,
it was kind of an interesting thing.
In the moment, I thought it was a good idea. I wish I can go back in time.
Oh, my God. Anyway. I think the one thing I think we both can identify with very much is the impulsive joke telling. I think that's I have been there. So I did not even consider that, by the way, when you were talking about impulse control. But yeah, that tends to be a problem with me.
You know, when you're a stand-up comic on stage and you got your material, and a lot of them kind of walk a tightrope, and you know, the people like the George Carlins and people respected them so much they can get away with anything.
Right.
Lenny Bruce, back with the group that followed him, can get away with anything because that was the routine. It's actually it was not just necessarily meant to be shocking. They really had some intelligence behind their humor, but it would often be shocking. And
what people came to see.
They came to see it, knowing that they would hear these incredible gems of really quite intelligent repartee about, well, not repartee, but monologues about humorous things that were kind of risque. But when you're not a professional and you're in the middle of a college class, I think people who tend to think funny, I believe you and I are in that category. There's a joy not in just seeing people laugh, but there's a joy in all in the constructs that come to you, the juxtapositions of funny things, and it just sometimes they feel like they need to be birthed, and you feel like you have to birth them in the moment. This is not a cesarean where you take your time. This is a full thrust pushing it out, and. I have done that many times, and even and sometimes, you know, when you're talking, it comes out immediately. There have been times where I've written things which I thought were amusing, and I actually took time to put them together. So it was not so much impulsive what I was writing or trying to put together that I thought was amusing or something that was a commentary, let's say, on some current political thing going on. But the impulse was hitting that button, putting it on the internet. You ever do that? You ever write something and you're going, do I push the button? Do I push the button? And going, and you've done it. And at the moment you hit the button, you go, geez, should I have done
maybe
that?
Maybe not. Yes. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then you scramble to go and read all the instructions on how to rescind what you've just sent.
But that it's too late because you're already on the terrorist watch list.
That's right. At that point. Yeah. What do you mean I can't take my flight to Boston because I did a bad joke? What are you talking about?
I must say, I remember, I don't know if this is what you're leading into, but Daryl wrote a very, very clever essay. I thought I got it right away. So that was a eulogy to his car. And many, many people, including people who unfortunately had lost loved ones recently, shared wonderful empathetic responses to it, not knowing that he was talking about an inanimate object. And that was kind of embarrassing. I felt bad for those people.
Well, okay. Point and counterpoint. I was glad I put that on. That was funny.
It was very well done.
I did have some people, and I incorporated part of that into an actual short story that I wrote, which I've submitted to the New Yorker. But
impulse.
That I thought was funny. So that was, I really thought that through, and I didn't have a problem doing it. And I figured people would get it. Matter of fact, some people wrote and said, "Oh my God, you had me there," you know, and so right. And you're that's right. There were people who had lost loved ones in my life. But you want to know something, buddy? I can't get through a day without hearing about somebody who has passed away. So I figured, you know what? If I hold off for the moment where, oh, here's how you start off your jokes. Okay, before I say something, are we all alive? Is everybody alive? Anybody hurting? Anybody got any kind of horrible disease? Okay, here's the joke. You're all going to die. So it's a good example, but it was an impulse. I had thought that one through. I have written other things, though, that I thought were creative. And it wasn't like it was impulsive in the moment. Because an impulse means you're really not thinking about it.
It's no, absolutely. Yeah.
You just do something. But I put stuff out that moments later, I either regretted or I thought better of and wanted to retract it. So that's happened. But I have not the story you told with standing. And I wish I can give you I have an example, but it's not of me. And I'll give you an example of somebody else. But I know I have said things in the past that I put out there and people have read, and either it wasn't necessarily hurtful, but people are scratching their heads going, "What is this a-hole thinking?" Or something I thought was particularly funny and it turned out to be not. Oh, I have an example. I wrote years back, you may or may not remember it, long time ago. I was just bored. So I wrote a little, like a news article, putting it out there. And basically it was talking about how dear friends, I know you can't get enough of me and that your world revolves around me. And I kept making little jokes about how I was the most perfect person anybody knew. And that other than me coming into their lives, everything else was questionable in their lives. But I was the one, straight and true thing that gave them joy. And everybody knew how important I was and how intelligent I was. It was a stupid little thing, but it's a little essay. But it was written as though it was like a political statement. And I sent it out. I thought it was immensely amusing.
I can see this coming.
And so, you know, there was radio silence out there. And then I got an email back from my sweet little father. He goes, "Daryl, are you okay?" And I looked at it and I said, this is really dumb. It was just like a creative writing exercise. And you know, you don't hit the mark when the people who are your best friends don't comment on something you put out there. It's like on Facebook. You ever look at something you put on Facebook and you look at things other people put out there and they got all these 551 thumbs up, 3,000 hearts. And here's my article I put out there 8 years ago. Crickets.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you, I made a huge mistake when I was in high school.
Okay.
I was taking a biology class.
Okay.
And the teacher was he was Mr. Pacheco. He was I assume a very good scientist. He did not have a lot of personal skills. He didn't connect. Let's just say that he did not connect well with the class. Okay. And it was really hard to kind of keep concentrate on anything he said. It was very, very difficult. And you know, for the most part, he just went along and he gave his lessons and we did our work and everything was fine. And I was getting, you know, fairly decent grades. Not great. I'm never a big biology fan, but something. And at one point, he was talking about fish. I don't even remember how he got into this, but he asked the class, "So, how do we recognize the difference between male and female fish?" And I raised my hand and I said, "The females talk in high-pitched little bubbles." I thought it was really funny. He just stared me down And our relationship drastically changed.
Really? Because of that?
From that point on. He, Mr. Jokester. Mr. Jokester. Oh, does Mr. Jokester have something to share?
He didn't say it lovingly. He said it as a put down.
No.
Oh, okay.
He did not appreciate humor. And, I mean, granted, not a great joke. But I was a kid. I was a sophomore in high school.
But you didn't need impulse control. You said something amusing. It's not like you discovered your voice as a humorous person in that moment.
But
you said something that you didn't know would offend him.
I think he took it as a disrespectful thing. It got titters from the rest of the class, which he could not abide because that was they were laughing at him as opposed to anything I said. It was not a good choice. It was not a good choice because by that point I knew he had no sense of humor.
you did know when you said that.
Of course I did. I should have just shut up, but it was. It was made for the rest of the year in that class very uncomfortable.
And I bet you the other kids in the class are going, yeah, congrats, that's so great. I'm glad.
No, they were not saying it to me because really? I was not particularly popular.
Oh, well.
But there you go. Yeah. Since then, I've always, for the longest time, anytime I would direct a play, various people in my place would make lists of the inappropriate things that I was saying as a joke. I mean, they appreciated the humor, but they recognized that it was like totally inappropriate humor, and they would make lists on the whiteboard in the back. Or
if we lived with if humorous people lived with the concept of never wanting to offend anybody, then they would never open their mouths.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's that way. So I'll go back to my list. the thing about my mom.
Oh, yeah.
So my mom, God bless her. I'm not going to go into it. I had counseling before. My mom had counseling because, she had moments in her life where she was depressed about various things. But she went to a counselor, a psychologist, who told her, and there's a subtlety here, you have to understand what a person's saying. And my mother, I think there was a gross misinterpretation. Basically, express yourself. Don't hold things back. Let people know, you don't have things boiling inside of you and bubbling up and causing you anger. So express yourself. Well, my mom's interpretation of that the psychiatrist or psychologist was giving her carte blanche to go out and insult anybody she wanted. And she'd say things that were so untoward, just really not great things sometimes. It's kind of fine. This is not like an ongoing thing. I had issues with my mom throughout my life, but she would feel something and she would not hold back. And if I brought it to her attention, she goes, my doctor said that I had to express myself. And that's why I call that small person over there a midget. That's not what he meant. So I always thought it was kind of funny because she would always invoke that her doctor told
her. That's hysterical.
So there's the fine gradations of understanding there, right? So what is the term, Greg? I what ghosting is online, right?
Yeah.
But there's another name. Maybe the word ghosting is in there. The millennials leaving jobs and just not showing up. I've heard a term. I can't think of it.
I don't know.
Anyway, I'm trying to look it up real quick to see if I can find it. I have experienced this recently. I'm not going to say any names here. There was a doctor I go to, my eye doctor, and they have an optical department. And there's a nice young guy who I look forward to working with when I got new glasses. He is very patient and kind. It took us time. And waiting to get another pair of glasses delivered. So I called the office and asked, if he was there, because I want to make sure he was there since he's my contact. So-and-so is no longer with us. Okay. Well, can I come down and get the glasses? Yeah. So I went down, I talked to one of the other people who worked there. What happened? I said, did he get fired or did he quit? It's kind of strange. He just decided he didn't want to show up anymore. And I said, didn't we talk to him? Is he okay? Do they? Yeah, talk to me. Just didn't feel like coming in anymore. To me, that's a lack of impulse control.
That's way.
When you're a younger person, you're planning on working for a long time. These things can come to, I don't know the circumstances behind that can kind of bite you on the butt. So there's a phenomenon where people sometimes just, you know, I just don't want to come in. I don't feel like it. And
I just looked it up. It's called quiet quitting.
There we go. That's
I've never heard that term.
Yeah. Quiet quitting. And I think that's an impulsive thing.
Yeah.
Even if you want to leave a place, there's an appropriate way to do it. And that's,
you know,
yeah,
I guess maybe I'm the other way around, but I have, if I have an appointment to see somebody,
right,
and I feel like I'm going to be late for it.
Yeah.
I go crazy trying to call them and contact them and let them know that I'm coming late. I mean, you know how if you go to a doctor's appointment and they always say show up 15 minutes before.
Right.
If I'm only showing up like 5 minutes before my appointment, I call them.
Yeah.
I am so, I personally, I'm so offended when people show up late to something or you know, don't show up at all.
Yeah.
I hate that. And
it's rude.
I can't even understand leaving a job and just
but to make an actual choice as opposed to something happen, like you get mad, you can't be mad at a person late if they have a car.
No, of course. Yeah.
But it's not just being mean or rude or inconsiderate in that moment. You're screwing yourself over.
Yeah.
Because that's going to follow you.
Absolutely.
So
that's bizarre. I did not realize that was a thing.
Yeah, I heard that term. That's what it was, quiet quitting, just recently.
Interesting.
I try to do it myself now just to give it a shot. And in my retirement, I decided not to show from a retirement. And I was still retired. So nobody was offended. No, it's like I'm... If you make a sound in the woods and a tree falls and no one's there to hear it, doesn't make a sound.
Do you want to parse that statement? Because that was...
Yeah. Yeah.
What you just said was, if you make a sound in the woods and the tree falls.
And then is it 5 o'clock?
No one hears what you said because the tree maybe was too noisy. Oh, my God.
See, okay. That syntactically made perfect sense in my mind.
But impulsively, as it came out of your mouth.
Well, if I had impulse control where I would try to hold back before something had come out of my mouth that makes sense, then I would never speak again.
Yes. Now, as far as making, the one thing you had mentioned earlier that I identified with right away is impulsive buying, purchasing things. That is my downfall. That is absolutely my downfall. For the whole getting up and running out to get something to eat, whatever, I really have not done that. Okay. That is not a thing. But
what have you bought impulsively?
If I get an idea in my mind that, this is something we should own. I think one of the last things we did was a sound bar for our TV. Mm-hmm. We don't need the sound bar, you know. I mean, it's nice to have, and it does in some ways it makes the sound clearer, right. I guess. I don't know. But you know, Amazon is the curse of my life because it's so easy to order something that you think of. If you actually have to get up and go out to a store, it's a little tougher to do that. And
that's true.
And Amazon is just so easy. And unfortunately, yes, I have purchased many things. Something popped up on I probably an ad on Facebook because those are the ones that you know, follow you and understand your thinking process. But something popped up on my Facebook page that was advertising a set of coasters with various birds on them. And then they were labeled by the kind of birds they were, but they were done to sound sexual or dirty. Oh. So they were like peckers, cocks, yeah, you know, things like this. And I saw it and I thought, oh, that's a gift for my brother. So I bought it,
yeah,
and had it delivered to my brother for, I think, Hanukkah or something.
Yeah.
And I just was not hearing from him. I thought, oh God, did it not show up or anything? So of course, and I hate, you know, buying something for somebody and then calling and saying, did you get this?
Yeah.
But I did. And he said, oh yeah, yeah, I got that. Interesting. Interesting gift. And I thought, I was a little off the mark there.
Well, you were off the mark, but that was after the fact. Did you impulsively buy it knowing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I totally impulsively bought it. I saw it and I thought, this is funny.
Yeah.
And honestly, there was that moment of saying, oh, I've got to buy this. I'm not sure who I'm going to get it for. And then it came to me, oh, my brother will enjoy this.
Yeah.
He did not. I have no idea if he'd even taken him out of the packaging.
I have an example of something impulsive that you did. It's a little thing. It really didn't. It's not a big deal. Your first marriage.
That was not impulsive. Uh-oh. That was weak and beaten.
I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there.
Wow.
That was funny.
Well, it's okay.
But
I do that a lot. And honestly, recently, I have actually controlled that to a certain extent, because I had an experience recently that I truly enjoyed. I hosted a talk back type situation for a New Works Festival at one of our local theaters. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the sense of kind of running a talk show, you know, that kind of feel to it, interviewing people. And I recognize the fact that I have certain strong interviewing skills. Mm-hmm. And one reason or another that spurred on this thing is that I could buy a few video cameras and an automatic switcher and just make my own interview show and a couple microphones and everything. And I immediately came home and I'm looking up on Amazon, you know, all the equipment. And seriously, comparatively speaking, I could actually do it fairly cheaply.
You could.
And they had everything I was looking for.
Yeah.
But I stopped myself because I thought, okay, comparatively cheaply does not equate to money I have in my pocket. And so I thought, okay, it's something to think about. And, you know, but it was like, oh yeah, I'll get this. I'll immediately go out. I'll start doing this stuff. And it's,
our viewing audience here have breathed a collective sigh of relief, because if you had done that, we know that you would not have time for this particular.
I would always have time
for this. Thank you.
Because my life is nearly as empty as yours.
We got a competition going on here. I have one last example where I held back too.
Oh.
As you know, my next door neighbor moved away and he had a weather station and he gave it to me.
Yes.
And it's a little thing you put up on your pole, and it's got the, you know, the anemometer, is that what it's called, and the
little wind
meter,
and then,
detects temperature and wind direction. And it's kind of fun. I gave you and my neighbors here the address on the web because you can see the actual temperature in my backyard, not a block away, in my backyard. And things are tight financially right now. And I looked at it and I said, you know what? This one's not measuring barometric pressure. So I went online. I never thought about a weather station in my life. And I spent probably about 45 minutes looking at all the different, and they're all so very cool, different weather stations that do many more things and that are newer than the technology had. And I was thinking, oh my God, like that one, I want to buy. And I was thinking of buying, I spent that much time. I go, what the hell are you doing? You got Yahoo Weather. You click a button, Yahoo Weather, get this beautiful graphic with, you know, showing the wind and little windmills going around. And I'm going, this is so silly. I think that's happened with an impulse. Well, impulsive means you're not really thinking about it, but I think sometimes you can think about it, but you're like in an impulsive cycle.
Yeah.
And you're not thinking about whether your thought process is something healthy or good for you. You're just caught up, like you're talking about the radio thing. You're just caught up in that concept. And then all of a sudden there's a little exit door. You kind of go, oh my God, I shouldn't have even been in this room, you know, ruminating about all this kind of stuff. And I had to exit out there too. I said, that's actually ridiculous. Now, if I win the lottery tonight, I'm going to go out and buy 20 weather stations.
Absolutely. Because it's more important to know what the weather is like in your southeast corner of your yard.
Absolutely.
As opposed to your northwest corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to break it down.
I summer in my front yard.
You should also hire an attractive weather girl to actually wait in your backyard, take the readings, and come into your house to give you the readings.
I like the way you think.
You've got a green screen already. She could stand in front of your green screen.
Point. Maybe she can point out on the green screen when we're not recording.
Oh, this hurts. And luckily, it's time for me to have the impulse to leave.
Why
don't you just close this thing out?
Let's see how you control that impulse. Oh, you're giving into it. Okay. Goodbye. Well, there goes Greg. It's been wonderful knowing you. And Greg is saying goodbye. So I will say so long too. Have a wonderful day. Be a blessing and never stop smiling. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. All joking aside.